So you are the coordinator of this new report calling 2014 the hottest year on record, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. And now this was a joint report between you and NASA?
There are several official global data sets. Two of them are produced here in the United States, one by NASA and one by NOAA. They're done independently. And on Friday, January 16th, we just released our information together. Both data sets independently found that 2014 was the warmest year on record. And that's so far also been corroborated by the Japanese Meteorological Agency as well.
Right, right. So I know now in measuring this, you guys also observed that the water of the oceans is at its warmest level too, right?
Yes. So there's two components to the global data set. We look at land temperatures and we also look at ocean temperatures. And the oceans were record warm this year by far. And that's sort of what drove our global temperature and our warmth this year. The land surfaces were warm too, but a lot of the heat was from the oceans.
What does that imply? I mean, are we gradually heating up? I mean, is that the trend line?
Yes. So we have been keeping records since 1880. So we have 135 years of data. And what we see is that temperatures are gradually increasing. So, for example, 2014 was the warmest year on record, but this is actually the third time in just the 21st century that the global data record has been either broken or tied. So we're seeing it happen more and more often. And we probably expect these trends, you know, following the science, we expect these trends to keep happening in the future too. 1998 is currently fourth warmest. So we could say that 9 out of the 10 warmest years have happened in the 21st century. And 1998 is the only warm year in the top 10 that happened in the 20th century earlier. So we're just seeing warmer and warmer years as we continue to, and warmer temperatures as we continue to move forward, which is what we expect to see as carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases are being released into the atmosphere.
What accounts for the whole polar vortex thing we had last year? I guess we kind of had another Arctic blast this year.
Right. Arctic blasts kind of, that's part of weather patterns. We have that from time to time. There is research being done to see if some of these, you know, what people like to refer to as the polar vortex or Arctic air coming down our way, if that's related to climate change. It may be, it may not be, but it is a general weather pattern. Even if you have global warming, you're still going to have Arctic air coming down from time to time. That's actually why we saw that the eastern United States was a bit cooler than average or close to average in parts of Canada in 2014. But as it turns out, we were the only place around the world that was cooler than average. Everybody else was hot. So if we take away the Arctic air coming down, it ends up that we're probably going to be closer to seeing record warm temperatures than we would be the close to the 20th century average, which is what we compare to.
So did the report look at just temperatures?
The report only looks at temperatures. That's
okay.
Correct. Yes.
Do you guys study ocean acidification at all? I guess that's probably not your role as the Climate
Center.
We
don't do that at the Climate Center. NOAA does study ocean acidification, and the IPCC reports, which is a major global report that comes out every 6 years, looks at ocean acidification. We have annual reports that also look at that, and the ocean is becoming more acidic as it absorbs some of the greenhouse gases, the carbon dioxide in particular. The oceans are becoming more acidic over time, I think about 30% more compared to where it was just a few decades ago.
You know that anytime you release a report on climate change that there's going to be some sort of politics involved, at least in the response. So how do
right.
how do you keep that out of
Well,
the report,
we just focus on the science. The science speaks for itself, and we let the policymakers and the activists speak towards everything else. We just put the numbers out there, and we stand by those. A lot of people talk about, you know, there was a big talk for a few years about what we refer to as a temperature hiatus, that, you know, the world wasn't really warming since 1998. And that's just not true. You know, we put our numbers out there and we've broken that record three times since 1998. So we are continuing to see warming temperatures and we will keep measuring those into the future. And again, letting the policymakers and the activists take on the other role.
Where do you think that claim came from?
I'm not really completely sure where it came from. I think that people took a specific year where the temperature was really high. That was 1998. We had a big El Nino that year. And when you have a really strong El Nino, that tends to push up the global temperatures. So they took that as a starting point and just decided that, you know, we didn't really have any warmth since then. But NOAA's data set says that we have. There may be other data sets saying maybe not so much, but our data set says that we are still continuing to see an increase and that we have not had any kind of hiatus at all.
And you mentioned the El Nino year, and last year wasn't one, right?
Last year was not an El Nino year. So the last three times that temperature records were broken, so throwing some statistics at you, this is 1998 and then 2005 and 2010. Those were years where we did have El Niños or El Niño-type conditions, which, again, tend to push up global temperatures. 2014, is it unique in the fact that we broke a temperature record and didn't have an El Niño? We actually had what we call ENSO-neutral conditions all year long. But the last time it happened was in the 1990s. So it's not unprecedented, but it is important to note that 2014 on its own, without any influence of, you know, these natural phenomenons, the El Niños, still record warm. And so if we have another El Nino in the next year or next time that it happens, you would expect the global temperatures to be warm and possibly see a record-setting year once again.
Could it be possible that the Earth just goes through changes, like, you know, it gets warmer, it gets cooler?
Sure. The Earth does go through changes, but that's not what's driving these temperatures now. Scientists have unequivocally connected the release of greenhouse gases to the atmosphere to global warming, and we know that that's what's the cause right now. Not saying the Earth hasn't warmed in the past, because of course it has, but that's not what's driving the warmth right now. Right now, the warmth is being driven by the release of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere.
Well, what was your reaction to the findings? Were you alarmed by them or not surprised?
We weren't surprised. We see this trend. You have two things that are happening in the atmosphere. You have, in terms of temperature, you have an underlying trend where we know that the temperature is increasing a certain amount every decade on average. There's a certain amount of increase. And then we also have natural variations, regular weather patterns. You're always going to have those. So you have two forces happening. And because we have the underlying warming trends, it doesn't surprise us at all that we're seeing these, you know, record-breaking temperatures, and it won't surprise us at all when we continue to see them in the future.
So are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future as far as global warming?
A little bit of both. I mean, you know, there will be warming continuing. People are continuing to put out the greenhouse gases. I think there's a lot more awareness now. I think people understand that we need renewable energy. So from that aspect, I'm optimistic, but I think that a lot more renewable energy is needed. And of course, we need to, you know, lessen our dependence on fossil fuels. The globe as a whole needs to lessen its dependence on fossil fuels to start bringing down the level of greenhouse gases, because otherwise the temperature will just continue to increase and we will see impacts, all different kinds of impacts around the world from climate change.
What are some of those impacts?
Some of the impacts we'll see, especially for people who live in coastal regions, not necessarily here in the mountains, is going to be an increase in sea level rise. It'll happen at different rates to different places around the world. So there are some very vulnerable areas. This is, I think, more than a billion people. I'm not sure the exact number, but more than a billion people live in low-lying areas near the coast. So these are the types of people that can be affected by climate change.
Including on the North Carolina coast.
Including on the North Carolina coast, that's right. So we're expecting to see sea level rise there in other parts of the East Coast and down in the South in Louisiana, and other parts of the world. Arctic ice is melting, so that's going to contribute to sea level rise. It may contribute to other impacts that we don't know, changing weather patterns possibly. These are things that scientists don't really know exactly what's going to happen from the changes. Things that we may see here in the mountains, native species, some of the plant species may not adapt to climate change very well, whereas invasive species like kudzu do adapt very well. And so we may see more immediate changes like that here in our area.
What about the upcoming climate talks? Is NOAA represented at those? Do you guys go and present the data to the world leaders?
Actually, we do. I'm also, some colleagues of mine and I edit a report called The State of the Climate. And this is a report that comes out every year. It not only looks at temperature, but it looks at climate change, all kinds of variables, and everything that's happening all around the world. And we take what has happened in a given year and compare it with the past to look at the trends in climate change. And we do present that material at the, usually we do it remotely, we don't go there ourselves, but we present that material to the leaders, to anyone who's interested, and let them know what is happening with climate change, what the trends are, what they need to take away from all this.
What has been the reaction so far to the report that you guys see?
The reaction is not surprise. The reaction just sort of puts an exclamation on global temperature, saying, you know, exclamation, we need to do something about this. That's the message that I think is being sent out, that people are taking away from it and that the policymakers can take away from it. You know, the world is continuing to warm.